At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 8 right now, and happy that you are with us this morning here. We are looking at pictures on my phone right now, Ethan and I are, of Dan Buck laying in a hospital bed. This guy ended up in the emergency room last night, the poor guy, with a dislocated shoulder. You know, when you play hard and you work hard, this is what happens to you. I mean, I'm just saying. Anyway, he separated his shoulder, had to go to the ER. He was still emailing us at 1:30 this morning. So he was just leaving the emergency room at 1:20 this morning. So Dan, who's filling in for Kim, is not here this morning. And we don't know if he'll be back tomorrow or not. Now, I one of our commenters on Facebook earlier pointed out, you know, Kim gave birth to her child on her bathroom floor, and she called in basically the next morning and gave us an update. So he's wondering why Dan couldn't call in today and tell us about his shoulder. My guess is he's still sleeping. I could be wrong about that. They probably gave him some pretty good pain medication.
And I don't think we want him on the air sleeping with pain meds.
No, that's true. So we're wishing Dan Buck the best and a speedy recovery, my friend, and maybe we'll see you tomorrow. If not, have a great weekend. All right. We got Shannon Bream coming up from Fox News Sunday and, of course, chief legal correspondent for the network up there covering the Supreme Court, which may soon hear this tariff case, right? But there's so many other court cases popping up, including, you know, Trump and Harvard and all of that. That case is something else. We're going to talk to her about all of that coming up here in a few minutes. Our friend Griff Jenkins, who was briefly on the phone with us on Tuesday during Todd Pyro's segment. That was pretty funny if you missed it. Todd Pyro had to wrap up his interview with us because he had to go do a hit for the TV side of things. It just so happened Griff was walking down the hall as he said something, so he handed the phone off to Griff, and he went off to do TV. So we got Griff on once already this week. We'll get him on again this morning at about 8:35. But right now, Ethan, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Chicago is the worst and most dangerous city in the world by far.
Worst and most dangerous? Two words. F*** you.
Yeah, the hatred continues there from Stephen Colbert dropping F-bombs at the president. It's just endless. The onslaught, the hatred and onslaught from Colbert and Kimmel and these other late night hosts is just sickening. And I don't think they even realize the damage they're doing to their own watchers, their own fan base across America.
This is the best issue of all. They are against preventing crime. They are fighting us. Do you know that this weekend, 72 people were shot in Chicago? I'm embarrassed to say it in front of the president of Poland.
Yeah, you think? Donald Trump sees the problem. 800 people dying every year from senseless murders is way too many. Why are you putting up with that? Watch what I did in D.C. We stopped it.
You know, it's interesting that we're sitting here and we're talking about the so-called threats to the First Amendment when the biggest threat to free speech right now is the old guy that is sitting over in the Oval.
Yep. Operation Let Her Speak. Jasmine Crockett out doing it again. She's doing us all a big favor. She may not even be in the House this time next year. They've drawn her out of her own district down in the great state of Texas.
The NAACP is suing Governor Mike Kehoe, saying his special session called at the request of President Trump is illegal. The emergency redistricting focuses on District 5 in Kansas City.
boy, what a joke that is. And, you know, I'll just have to say, if you look at the map, like, it, for example, the Post had a link to the current map and the projected map if they make the redistricting change in the Senate and then in the House and then the Senate next week. It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. I mean, Republicans in Missouri have falsely allowed Kansas City to be its own Democrat-only district for years. I challenge you to Google it or whatever whatever browser you use. Look at, compare the two maps. The District 5 over in Kansas City is a thumb. It's like a thumbprint compared to the size of every other congressional district in the state of Missouri. And they intentionally drew it that way so that Emanuel Cleaver was guaranteed reelection. But there's no other district drawn like that except the one in St. Louis, which is court ordered for some odd reason. I don't know why, but it's court ordered. So by expanding the districts to how they're supposed to look, it eliminates that Democrat only little thumbprint, looks like a postage stamp on the map in Kansas City. Eliminates it. And of course, the left is mad about that. They've done it to every Republican in every blue state in America, but they're angry if the Republicans do it to them. And now they're suing, as you heard Channel 4 report there. That's not the only thing the governor is being sued over. He's being sued over activating the National Guard in advance of anti-Trump protests. Did you hear this one? It was the No Kings protest in June. And there's some activist, Lucas Serpiot. Serpio, is that it? I don't know. There's a senator with that same name. This is a guy that lives in Jeff City, and apparently he is a disability civil rights activist. Said he felt intimidated by the governor's actions and felt too unsafe to attend any No Kings protest on June 14th. What a snowflake. You're more worried about the good guys with guns, the men and women who proudly serve this country, who mean you no harm unless you attack them, which I would highly recommend against. You were too intimidated by them to go to a what you claim you a rally you were passionate about. I don't buy it. So indeed, Lucas is the son of Republican Senator Serpio. I didn't know that. I see it now that I've read another line here. So the ACLU of Missouri is working with him to institute this lawsuit to keep National Guard troops. That's a shot across the bow in case Kehoe is considering working with President Trump to clean up North St. Louis. Wouldn't that be a miracle if we didn't have 80 murders? Wouldn't that be something? 80 people were not unalived in the city of St. Louis just because we finally realized what's at stake and how to fix it. He's shown us the way. Thank you, President Trump. All right, quick break. We will get to Shannon Bream, find out more about this issue with the judge and Harvard and whether or not the government might have to give some of that research money back to the big liberal university. We'll be back.
Have incompetent people, a guy like Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of a state that if we didn't go into Los Angeles with our soldiers, with our National Guard, you wouldn't even be having the Olympics there. They were going to take it. And remember this, your top law enforcement officer in Los Angeles said, there's no way we could have done this without President Trump coming in with the troops. We saved Los Angeles and we saved the Olympics.
Yeah, there's the president talking about, you know, the actions in L.A. And how upset Mayor Bass was over that. Mayor Largemouth Bass, Karen Bass, got very mad that we dared to send troops in there to protect federal workers. My challenge to any of these members of the mainstream media who've raised so much hell over this would be pretty simple. Show me one example of a United States citizen who was injured by a member of the National Guard. If it happened, I didn't see it. Did you see it? I mean, I think that's a fair question. Now you've got the question of the National Guard being sent into Chicago and already threats of lawsuits and how can that happen? And obviously, Mayor Johnson and Governor Pritzker are also opposed to that happening. And I still don't quite understand why. Let's get to our friend Shannon Bream, please.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing all right. We were just talking about the fallout from L.A. and the ruling that the president didn't have the authority to send troops into L.A. but was allowed to maintain troops in L.A. Can you explain to me the fine legal point I'm missing there?
Well, this is most certainly going on appeal to the Ninth Circuit. I think the Trump administration, I'd be surprised if they don't continue to fight this because it's going to come up in these other states. This ruling was just about California, but basically was saying that the military can't engage in domestic law enforcement. And that's what this judge felt like was happening with the National Guard troops and others that were mobilized there. And they said, you know, basically, you can even do things like conducting riot control, making arrests, setting up traffic stops. So it would seem there were enormous limits on anything that the president could send the National Guard to do absent the governor of that state asking for them to come, which is why I think it sparked this interesting conversation about President Trump possibly going to New Orleans and Louisiana next instead of Chicago and Illinois, because you've got a Republican governor there in Louisiana who it sounds like would welcome the help.
That's interesting that you say that. There was some speculation here that we have a local issue here where last year the legislature turned control of the St. Louis police back over to the state where there had been local control for a few years. And obviously there were still crime problems and there are shortages in staffing and all of that. But the governor here had started to appoint a local police board to oversee the police department. He withdrew all of those names earlier this week. And they're in a special session right now in the Missouri legislature. And somebody speculated, I wonder if he did that so he would be in control of the police department if indeed he wanted to call in the National Guard to deal with the crime problem that we obviously have here in St. Louis. We're always one of the top two or three most dangerous mm-hmm. cities in America.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I think you're right. There are so many different developments here beg the questions that come right after them. Like, why are these local and state leaders doing what they're doing? Some welcoming what President Trump is offering, others very much looking to consolidate their own power so that they don't have to cooperate with something involving the feds. Lots of threats of lawsuits, lots of actual lawsuits. And we've seen kind of this evolution in D.C. where I'm based, and the mayor there who had been very aggressive in pushing back against any potential loss of local control has now sort of moderated. You've seen this, her conversation about President Trump saying, hey, it's been helpful to have more law enforcement officers or backup for our law enforcement officers on the streets. And you can't, you know, you debate the numbers. In D.C., the crime numbers are down. But the authority the president is using right now to control the police force there in D.C. is going to expire soon, and Congress will have to get involved. So, you know, it's a federal district. It's not a city. So every one of these situations across the country is going to be politically and legally nuanced.
Well, I read an article, a headline this morning on MSNBC. There's a cost to the way Muriel Bowser is trying to play the game with Trump. Her cooperation with Trump might be a strategic play, but it has consequences. I think some of these other mayors are angry with her because she's seen the results and she kind of likes it, I think.
Yeah, and there may be, you know, there's backlash and there are protests in D.C. as well. There are local residents there who do not like the optics or the reality that President Trump is running the city in any way, shape, or form. But I think she's trying to thread a very careful needle.
Very true. Shannon Bream with us, host of Fox News Sunday this morning. On to the other legal challenge, and that's the one that was announced yesterday by the judge regarding Harvard. Not a lawyer. Don't pretend to be. The way I read that ruling, though, was it sounded like she was admitting there that there was violence and or actions against Jewish students. There was anti-Semitism, but that didn't justify what the Trump administration did, even if that did happen.
Yeah, it all goes back to the First Amendment. And basically that decision there was that what the Trump administration was doing in withdrawing or blocking nearly $3 billion in grants to Harvard was impinging on the university's First Amendment rights. So, again, I think that's another one that's going to be automatically on appeal. But federal judges have a lot of power in these initial decisions in these cases. So it's one of the things that we'll talk with Secretary McMahon about on Sunday. Our entire hour is, we'll have news of the day, but it's also dedicated to all of these fights in K through 12 and higher education that the administration is engaged in. So it's a tough loss for them. I know they'll keep fighting forward. But again, listen, these federal judges are going to be very protective of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court is as well. But how that translates into an education system where students will say, I was not protected, and I am a student on this campus.
Yeah.
That's got to be hashed out.
That's true. Not to linger on the point, but can an institution have civil rights? Maybe I misunderstood that concept. I think of people having civil rights, mm-hmm. not institutions.
Yeah, well, the court's clearly recognizing that Harvard has a First Amendment right to free speech. Huh. And so that's set the underpinnings of this decision. And so entities can, you know, have those as well. It's funny because the court's even looking ahead to things like there's a case in Florida right now. Do AI chatbots have First Amendment speech protection? So the law can be stretched in a lot of different decisions. We'll see how far the courts are willing to go.
Wow. No kidding. And wow, that's a mind bender right there. Mm-hmm. Shannon. So you've got Linda McMahon. Did you say on Sunday?
We do. Good. We've got Governor Kathy Hochul as well, too, to talk about what states are doing on a number of issues of choice and banning cell phones from classrooms. It's one of the few bipartisan things that people seem to agree on in education. So yeah. We've got Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs to talk about non-traditional things you can do when you graduate instead of not college is not for everyone. And we talk with Dave Ramsey about the burden of student loan debt in this country as well.
Sounds like a great show. We'll be watching, Shannon. Thank you.
See you Sunday.
All right. Thank you. Shannon Bream there, Fox News Sunday. Love that Mike Rowe guy. You know, he loves Eagle Scouts. And he was at a place where we were one time, and my son and his buddy went over and he chatted him up because when he found out they were Eagle Scouts, he just seems like a great guy. So is Griff Jenkins. We're going to get to him coming up after the break.
I think the polls are a testament. You see what's happening, and now they say I'm going even higher. So I think the polls, the country is fed up with what's going on. You know, in the old days, they used the term silent majority. We have the silent majority back, folks.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
You have un...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Conceded the king, Griff Jenkins. Can I tell you that? You have become the busiest man at Fox News ahead of Brian Kilmeade this week.
I know. At the last minute, I was so honored. Brian had to do some sort of story. They had to pull him off, or after TV, he pulled him off his radio show. And so they asked me to sit in, and I always love sitting in the radio studio, particularly for Kilmeade's show and joining you guys. Because as we've all talked about, you know, my background is talk radio. I started in talk radio, and there's nowhere I'm more comfortable than sitting behind a mic.
Well, I'm sure it meant a lot to you to be in the Tony Snow studio, right?
It sure did. And just for our listeners that don't know the backstory, the quick version is, you know, I was a producer at Fox well before I was a reporter or fill-in anchor, and I was a producer for Tony Snow's radio show. I started his radio show in D.C. We started in like a broom closet with a Mackie board and some XLR cables, and now in the state-of-the-art Fox News radio studios in D.C., it is the Tony Snow radio studio. He, of course, passed away from colon cancer years ago after his last job was the press secretary at the White House for George W. Bush. And he has been a mentor and one of the smartest, nicest humans I had ever met. And every day, you know, when we get complicated stories, I always try and think, how would Tony Snow approach this? What would he say? What would he question about it? What would he, you know, see the context being behind it? And it has helped guide me and gets me through figuring a lot of stories out.
He was always very calm and level-headed in his approach to things. I loved his voice, and certainly we miss him for sure. You know, next time I have you on, I'm going to wear my Washington Redskins. I have a vintage Washington Redskins shirt, a long sleeve shirt given to me by a Washington Redskins fan.
Man, I love it. Listen, I'm so fired up. I'm so fired up for this season. And, you know, I'm telling you, if they do change the name back to Redskins, it's going to be me and Lucas Tomlinson, my correspondent here in the Fox Bureau, that gets credit for it, because we were pushing it. Lucas asked the president about it. President Trump said, well, I'd change it back.
And I'd support it, yeah.
I kept pushing it, and now Trump's really been pushing Josh Harris, our owner here, the Commanders. But at the end of the day, you know, President Trump had a great line, which is, he said, well, sometimes winning changes it, meaning if we have a season like we did last year, it may fall to the wayside. The people care about it. They just want wins. And let me tell you, I am, you know, go on record now. I think that our quarterback, Jaden Daniels, will one day be in the conversation with Tom Brady, with Brett Favre.
Wow.
He really is. In fact, yesterday, our coach, Dan Quinn, was, you know, doing the media rounds, and he said he thinks that Daniels, the way he put it, he said he has a hunger for greatness. He said he has the one thing that you can't teach, and that is a absolute commitment to focus. And in the off season and every day in practice, he zeroes in on what it is specifically he needs to be focused on, and he tries to master it. Doesn't get out over his skis, get ahead of himself. He just wants to fix it and do whatever it is that task is, and he stays 100% committed to it. And if he comes in and gives us a season like he did last year, and now we've got Debo on our team to supplement Terry McLaurin, right, we may have a winning season again.
we can't relate here in St. Louis. We've lost the NFL forever. And then we sued him and won $700 million, so I know they're never coming back.
It's not fair.
It's college fair football around here. That's all we care about these days. I played that bite off the top from the president about immigration. You're covering an immigration story today, right?
Yeah, I am. And, you know, as you are familiar with, the news cycle is tough to keep up with.
Yeah, that's
true. It's
just
so crazy these days. But I saw this story this week, I think it was on Tuesday, that the Pentagon acknowledged that they're sending some 600 judge advocates and civilian lawyers from the DOD to the DOJ to serve as immigration judges to try and deal with this backlog. I was like, that story is important. My bosses were like, why? I said, it's important because you've got some 3.7 million cases that are backlogged in immigration court. There's only about 600 that exist now. And, it, you know, while we all saw the flaws in Senator Langford's border bill that went down in flames, that did actually try and address it. And now in the Big Beautiful Bill, there is money being allocated for more immigration judges. But at the end of the day, these backlogged near 4 million cases are something that's got to be dealt with. And in fairness, it wasn't just the Biden years. This has been across bipartisan, multiple administrations, really going all the way back to the Obama years when it started to really get overloaded. And so I did an interview this morning with a guy that represents the union that represents immigration judges. And he said, you know, we're just glad to see that at least this administration acknowledges there's a massive problem that's been ignored and needs to be dealt with. However, we do have some, you know, reservations because immigration law is complicated. And if these attorneys and judge advocates don't have immigration law experience, it could create problems because that means that they could do something in those cases that could render an appeal by the you know, immigrants' defense teams. And then if that happens and you have all these cases getting appealed, it could actually add to the backlog.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Griff Jenkins from Fox News. I talk to your bureau mate just before you every week, Shannon Bream. And I should have, I was talking to her about this issue of National Guard troops and all. But since you've covered this story so much, tell me if my perception of this is wrong, because I read a lot of news. I read a lot of different news sources. Has there been a single incident, Griff, that you know of where there's been some contact or violence by a National Guard troop against a member of the public or a protester? I haven't seen one.
Well, no. And the reason why, Mark, is because the National Guard are not out there doing apprehensions like you see ICE doing. And we see, of course, these protesters clashing with ICE and Border Patrol and HSI agents. But the National Guard are doing other things. They're doing the supplement requirement administrative to, you know, assist in any way the federal law enforcement, and in some cases local, when you actually have a jurisdiction that's not a sanctuary jurisdiction. And, you know, that's why, like, they have a specific mission, and they're working in conjunction with federal law enforcement and federal agents to, in many cases, like we saw out in L.A., you know, just protect a federal building. And if you put a Humvee and some guardsmen in front of a federal building, guess what? The appetite for these protesters to go vandalize it, spray paint it, burn American flags goes way down. And so, you know, it's a collaboration that is basically, you know, serving a purpose. And so you haven't seen them do the things that Democrat politicians that are critical of them are saying they're doing.
Yeah. And you know, we've got a lawsuit against the governor of Missouri right now by some local activist who claims he was too intimidated by the National Guard being called out before the No Kings protest back in June, that he couldn't attend, and he's suing the governor over that. I'm like, are you just a snowflake? Can you just admit that you're a snowflake if you're intimidated by a good guy with a gun?
Yeah, and you know, the thing that I always come back to, Mark, is this. When Sec Def Hegseth was saying the other day that guardsmen told him that people in D.C. came up and thanked them for being there. That part of the story in the mainstream media never gets included, and neither does the victims of crime in these cities like D.C., where, you know, they aren't necessarily Trump supporters, but they're thankful to get it going, you know, to get crime down and to try and protect the city.
Sure.
And it's part of the reason why Muriel Bowser, our D.C. mayor, stands out as a Democrat blue city mayor, saying, you know what, this maybe isn't so bad. Like, come on, guys, this is common sense. We'd rather be safe. It drives me nuts to see these people like J.D. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson out in Chicago and Illinois, because it almost seems like, Mark, they're saying, we're going to defend our crime. We love our crime. Leave it alone. We'll take care of it ourselves. We don't need your help.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to give Trump any kind of victory.
It's absolutely true. Griff, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. And don't forget, root for the Commanders or the Redskins.
Or the Redskins.
Get that name back.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
All right. Yep. Remind me, as soon as it's time for long sleeve weather, which may not be long now, I'll have to start wearing my my vintage Redskin shirt. Thanks to my friend Ken, who fixed me up with that one. I appreciate it. Oh, just got a picture. I may be violating his HIPAA rights. I just got a picture of Dan Buck's shoulder when it was out of socket. Oh, man, live, that looks painful. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
I will introduce my friend Cortez. Come up and speak. Thanks, Cortez.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. I I got to say, you know, I know it was, man, what was it, like 6 or 7 years ago now, Chip, that you and I were elected?
Yeah, politics made strange bedfellows. Did you hear the references there? That was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who apparently Congressman Tim Burchett, Republican, affectionately refers to as Cortez. Let me introduce my friend Cortez. Come on up here, Cortez. Well, thank you, Tim. Oh, and Chip, you know, we got elected the same year. This is the uber conservative Chip Roy is standing behind her in this news conference. I'm like, what is going on here? The universe is upside down. We're in the upside down. They've got a bipartisan bill that they're working on that would stop what they refer to as insider trading in Congress. And finally, Chip Roy and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tim Burchett found something they can all agree on. I'm sure Nancy Pelosi and Ilhan Omar are none too thrilled about it. The question is, and I haven't read it, how far does it go? Like, in other words, it would say that if you're an elected official, you cannot own individual stocks while you're in office. That's basically how far this bill goes. How about your spouse? Like you'd still be able to own mutual funds, so you just split up your accounts so that the serving member of Congress only has the mutual funds and their spouse can still trade stocks? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I thought you would get a kick out of hearing that. You might get a kick out of hearing this. If you missed this earlier, there was a murderer in Canada, what would be the 51st state, if as Trump jokes all the time. And so they had a murder up there, and afterwards it was a father who tried to stop these people that broke into his house. He tried to protect his daughter, and he got shot and killed. So the police chief up there in Ontario rushed to a microphone to warn people that if somebody tries to get into your house in Canada, particularly in Ontario, you should just let them go. You should comply.
In the unlikely event that you find yourself the victim of a home invasion, we are urging citizens not to take matters into their own hands. While we don't want homeowners to feel powerless, we urge you to call 911 and do everything you can to keep yourself and loved ones safe until police arrive and be the best witness possible. This could mean locking yourself in a room away from the perpetrators, hiding, fleeing the home, but don't engage unless absolutely necessary. But as it stands, we know the best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard, a number of safety recommendations.
So, Jill, if there's ever a problem, just walk out on the balcony here, or walk out, put that double barrel shotgun, and...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fired two blasts outside the house.
Of course, nobody in Canada has a gun. They basically outlawed all the guns. It's tough to even get a gun for hunting in Canada these days. These people are absolutely insane. Here's the problem. The police response time for that call, even before the people broke into the house, they'd already called 911. It took them 15 minutes to get to the scene. By that time, the guy was dead. So if you don't have the gumption to protect yourself with a weapon, this is another reason we don't need Canada to be the 51st state of the United States. The police chief's just telling you, hey, just let me telegraph this to all the criminals out there. If you break in, I'm going to go ahead and tell them all to comply. Seriously. Oh, my God. Who is this guy anyway? All right. If you missed the beginning of the show or I don't know, an hour again ago, we talked about our friend Dan Buck, and he is texting us this morning because yesterday he dislocated his shoulder, right? And he's claiming he'll be back tomorrow. He's in a lot of pain. He sent me a picture. He sent me an X-ray of his shoulder earlier. And I don't know if you can see this or not. I'll hold it up to the camera. His arm bone was completely out of the socket. This is what they found when they took the X-ray last night. I'm probably violating every HIPAA right Dan Buck has. But he made the mistake of sending it to me in a group text. So I'm guessing he doesn't care. And they finally got it back in place. And he says he will be here tomorrow, although he said that the fentanyl is getting a bad rap. So I don't know what they've got him on. But we're expecting to have Dan back with us tomorrow with his arm in a sling. I'm not sure how he's going to type. We'll see tomorrow. All right. Have a great day. Kilbead's up next. Keep it tuned right here to 97.1 FM Talk. Have a great Thursday.